Good morning, everyone. We could have your attention. We're going to go ahead and get started here in the media center today at Homestead Miami Speedway with representatives from all three of our manufacturers. As you face the stage, sitting from left to right, joining us today are Jim Campbell, U.S. Vice President of Performance and Motorsports for Chevrolet, Mark Rushbrook, Global Director of Ford Performance Motorsports, and Ed Laukes, Group Vice President Marketing for Toyota Motor North America. Jim, I'll start with you. 15 Chevy drivers made the playoffs across all three national series, the most of any manufacturer. In fact, today you've got two of the three or four teams competing for the Xfinity Series title. Can you talk about Chevrolet's 2019 season and your thoughts heading into 2020?
Yeah, well, thank you. It's great to be with you guys. This is a tradition here with the three OEMs. 15 Chevy drivers, obviously five made it into the playoffs in the Cup side, seven in Xfinity, and three in the Truck Series. And so that's a good sign. We certainly want to drive more people to the championship Final Four, And so that's really the focus of what we're doing here on Truck and Xfinity. Season's been pretty good. Obviously, we didn't bring the championship home last night. Congratulations to Matt and Mark, to you guys.
Thank
on
you.
That. It was a heck of a fight. Xfinity's going to be terrific today. We're looking forward to that. And on the Cup side, always hurts when you don't have anybody in the championship four, but we're clearly focused as our Chevy teams and our division on preparing. Obviously, we want to run a great race tomorrow and obviously go for the win. It's an individual win, not a championship win, and then focus on 2020, and we have some good things coming at us next year. So happy to be here, looking forward to the race today, and obviously good race tomorrow to try to go for the individual win, and then looking forward to 20 and 21.
Thank you, sir. Mark, Ford Performance introduced the Mustang in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series competition this year. Tons of momentum coming out of 2018, and then you won two of the first three races of the season. Now, 10 months later, Kevin Harvick is on the verge of a championship, this time in a Mustang. Talk about the season culminating with Ford Championship weekend here at Homestead Miami.
Yeah, just a comment first about the Ford Fusion that served us so well for so many years in NASCAR, and to have it go out winning a championship with Joey Logano last year was just fantastic. And then from the time that we had introduced the Mustang earlier in 2018 to starting racing with it in 2019, it's just been so well received by all of the fans in NASCAR. So many Mustang fans out there, given what that car is, the iconic status that it has within our company, and to have it on track throughout the season now for NASCAR in the Monster Energy Cup Series has been fantastic. Winning relatively early in the season in Atlanta with Brad in the second race, and then Joey in Vegas, and continuing through the season. And our teams have shown different strengths at different points in the season, and definitely Stuart Haas has been coming on strong with the Mustang through the latter part of the season, and definitely through the playoffs with Kevin's performance, especially at Texas. And excited to have Kevin and the Mustang here in the Championship Four, and looking forward to Sunday's race.
Thank you. Ed, first, congratulations on clinching the Manufacturers Championship and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series last weekend at ISM Raceway, and last night in the Gander Outdoors Truck Series. Toyota's won more this season than any other manufacturer across all three national series. 18 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series wins, 13 in the Xfinity Series, and 11 in the Gander Outdoors Truck Series. Talk about Toyota's championship run this year.
Yeah, thank you. It's actually 12 after last night. So,
sorry.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for spending a little bit of time with us. I think, first of all, congratulations, Mark and Team Ford, on that championship. It's always good to see Crafton out there. Quick announcement, in the spirit of Chevrolet and Talladega, we're going to be having a secret team meeting at 2 p.m. in the Cup Garage. So, Jim, if you see some commotion out there, you'll know that's what that's all about. So, anyway, we love Jim.
Can I respond?
Of course, you can respond. Go ahead. Go ahead. Obviously, this has been a fantastic season for us across all three series. We're really excited about, first of all, Christopher running tonight, but this whole thing started in Daytona, as you all know, in the spirit of what happened at the Joe Gibbs organization, having JD pass and then having the three Gibbs drivers win at Daytona really started off what we would say a magical season for us, and hopefully we'll be able to finish it off next year. In reflection, you know, I started in this job in 2007, and then we were looking through some of the statistics. And in 2007, Chevy won 26 races, and Rick Hendrick's team won 18. So for us to even get to that point from 2007 to 2019 where we not only can match but potentially pass the pinnacle of Hall of Fame Rick Hendrick and the legacy that he has within NASCAR is really special. And Manufacturers Championship is obviously a piece of personal pride for us that we push all the time. So whether it's in any one of the three series, it's a big deal for us. So we're pretty excited.
Thank you. We'll go ahead and open it up to media. If you'll raise your hand, we'll get a microphone to you. State your name and affiliation. We'll start right here in the middle with Greg Engel. Then we'll go over here to Al.
Hey, gentlemen. Greg Engel, Auto Week. Obviously, we all know 70% of sales are SUVs. I don't anticipate ever seeing a RAV4 series or racing SUVs. But and we all know NASCAR is going hybrid. How long do you think that when we term stock car racing with the shorter attention spans and everything that's going on, how long do you think that motorsports could actually be relevant in America? Is it forever or could there be an end point?
Who wants to start?
It takes that.
Jim, go ahead.
First, my response.
It's a good one for you.
No.
I'm giving you your opportunity. You were asking me for an opportunity.
No, we'll get to that in a second. If you look at the history of motorsports, there have been turning points all the way through. And the technologies have changed, the vehicles we race have changed, and that will continue. And it's as much about the technologies that go in the vehicles that we race and how we relate those technologies and the tools we use to prepare the race cars to our production side of our business, either in the showroom with similar technologies in our cars, trucks, and crossovers, or the tools in which we prepare to race get honed and refined and improve so that when we go to apply them to the production side, they're even better. So I you know, what's going to happen going forward? We just came out of SEMA, and that's the aftermarket parts, convention or trade show, if you will. We have 41 internal combustion engines that are crate engines. We have the most of any OE in the industry. However, we also are trying to look forward, and so we brought a 1962 C10, which we call the E10. And what we did is a concept crate electric propulsion system. It's the second one we've done in 2 years to really look forward. 41 internal combustion engines, we got that covered, but what could be next? Racing gives you the same opportunity. You're going to continue to leverage what you have, but you also have to look forward, and you do that with the series and with the other OEMs. I expect that to happen in every series.
Yeah, I think I would add to that. There is still so much passion out in the world, in the fans, for cars and for motorsports. I know inside of our company and inside of Ford Motor Company and inside of the Ford family, there is a lot of passion for cars and motorsports and competition to be able to connect with those fans and customers, to be able to learn and innovate and have the tech transfer to use those same tools to make competitive and winning in racing, and to use those same tools to make our road cars even better. And that definitely applies even today as we're racing a Mustang on the track. It makes our F-150s better. Our customers come here and they watch Ford be successful on track. And even when they see a Mustang on the track, they'll still go home and buy an F-150. So it's there today. We expect it to stay in the foreseeable future. Yes, motorsports is going to change. We're excited about the next-gen car. It's going to be even more relevant for the technology that's inside of it, and especially with hybrid coming in that in the future as well, and everything that we're doing on the streetcars, we think it's just going to keep growing.
Yeah, just real quick, we have a different strategy, obviously, than Mark and Jim's group do. We are still firmly in the car business and plan to be for a significant period of time. We just announced all-wheel drive on Avalon and Camry. We're looking at Corolla right now, so that'll be a significant piece of the strategy. We think the electrification message, whether it be hybrid, full electric, all different types of powertrains are definitely going to play a piece in the future. But racing somehow, some way, the evolution, I think will happen over time, and we're still pretty bullish about it.
We'll go front left here to Al, then Steve.
Thank you. Al Pierce, also from Auto Week. For Jim, Jim, it wasn't that many years ago that Jimmy Johnson was winning another championship. But in the last 3 years, your guys have not made the Final Four. Haven't won that many races in the last 3 years. To put it simply, what happened? What is happening, maybe?
Yeah, it's a good question, and we obviously spent a lot of time on our competitiveness on the track. I think a couple things. One, if you look at the we've had long-term relationships with the big three teams, 50 years with Richard Childress, 35-plus years with Rick Hendrick, 10-plus years with Ganassi, and a lot of the affiliates have been with us for quite a while. If you look at the drivers, we've had some amazing, you know, young drivers that turned into winning drivers, that turned into championship drivers that then retired. And so we have a younger crew. If you take Jimmy Johnson and Kurt Busch out of the average age, we're, you know, our average age is like 26 years old. So what's exciting is at one point Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart and Dale Earnhardt Jr. were the young guys. We've got the young guys now. And so they are. It's an amazing thing to watch how they're progressing. Some of the drivers have been to these tracks one, two, three times, four times. So every time they go, they're learning a lot more. Secondly, we switched the car from the SS to the Camaro ZL1, and I think we were hopeful we had done a great job on that. I think the car is actually, look at the back half of the season, the last half of the season, we won. Six of our seven races were won in the back half of the season, so I do see improvement there. And I don't know if you caught our press release, but next year we're going to come out with a ZL1 1LE. And in the production side of our world, that's our highest performing production car. Similar to the ZL1, but it has, kind of higher performance elements to it from aero to chassis. And so we've incorporated those into the 2020 car that we put the release out and a rendering on. And then I would just say we can continue to bolster the tools we have from our simulation, driver in the loop. The sim that we do, as well as how we're preparing with our teams. The aero work we did on the 2020 was done together with those three teams and our affiliates, and I'm excited about what that can be for the future. So, listen, we're a performance sport, so there's no excuses here. We've got to do better. We expect to do better. If you look at the history of Chevrolet, 39 manufacturers, championships, 31 drivers, but that's all history. We're interested in the next chapter, and that's what we're focused on.
Thank you. We'll go to Steve, then over to Bob.
Steve Schweitzer of the Lasco Press. Mark, got off to a good start on the weekend with the win last night. Of course, Cole Custer is running today for the championship, and we found out this week that he's going to be moving up to the Cup Series next year. A lot of positive things going on. What can you do as the manufacturer to help some of these younger drivers develop in the Cup Series?
Yeah, so we have started putting a lot of focus on our driver development over the last several years, and a lot of the things that we can bring to the party is simulator time, which gives them extra time not just to practice driving the car and getting familiar with different tracks, but to also practice and be more effective at their communication or evaluation skills. What do they feel in the car? How do they communicate that back to the crew chief? And then make changes. So you can go through all of that in the simulator to try to advance and prepare them. Some of the other things that we're doing over the last 2 years have been using our IMSA program with the Mustang GT4 cars to put our truck drivers and our Xfinity drivers into getting them more seat time, first of all, getting them more road course time and more data analysis, again, more feedback, more training, more communication. And specifically for Cole Custer, he's been doing that for the last 2 years as well. So that helps develop him as an individual. And we've seen Cole, for a lot of reasons beyond those, Cole has matured and grown a lot over these last 2 years, and we're excited to see him taking that step up the Cup next year.
We'll go over here to the right to Bob and then Jordan.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. Jim, your 2020 Cup car, you talk about improvements. Where do you think you'll improve the most? It looks like it's a little bit less pointed, maybe fewer aero pockets on the hood area, and I guess a potential rear change.
Yeah, first of all, when we introduced the ZL1, the ZL1 1LE on the production side wasn't out quite yet, and so this gives us a chance to align with our top Camaro in terms of the production and the street side. And so you saw the rendering. We did kind of soften the radius of the front of the front fascia, so that'll help on pushing when the guys are pushing. That'll help. There's also some aero elements that are related to the production car. They're in the race car, And so I think that, you know, we went to the tunnel. We did our submission with NASCAR, and in the submission, you know, Ford and Toyota are in that when we do those submissions. And so we got approved, and we'll be racing that this coming year. So, and I think that on the rear, we didn't do the rendering of the rear of the car, but it looks more like the production car, which I like a lot. And so, but again, it's a performance sport. That's a new car. It's all about how we perform. And so that's our focus.
It looks a lot like the Toyota and Ford Cup cars,
is
the rear.
We will put a rendering out on it, but no, it does not. No, it does not.
We'll stay over here to the right to Jordan, then we're going to go over to Jacob.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. From what you know about the 2021 car and what you've seen and what you'd like to see, what are your thoughts on it?
For me?
Yeah, so we're excited. It's a very exciting time for NASCAR to see all the technology and architecture changes that are going into next gen, to see the sport with the different OEMs and different stakeholders working together to put the best thoughts and ideas into that car. It's had a very successful test already, continuing to progress the design and freeze the design, and more tests coming up. I think the fans are going to be excited once they see the final versions of the car, the Ford, Chevy, Toyota versions, and the racing that it's going to bring on track, and then leading to beyond 21 to further technology with hybrid, I think, is important for all of us as manufacturers, and is going to be something exciting for the fans to see what that technology can do on track as well.
I mean, I think the evolution was overdue, and it had to happen. So one way or another, there needs to be new blood brought into the sport, new team ownership brought into the sport, and this is the way that that it's going to happen. And I think the vision of Jim France and of NASCAR right now was very, very appropriate. And there's a lot of people that have a lot of different feelings about it that aren't really, I don't believe, fully knowledgeable of the work that's going into it. But the collaboration that's happening amongst our three groups, bringing forward to have spectacular racing in 2021, is fully at the forefront, and I think everybody will be really happy when it happens.
Yeah, I would just add, when you see the proportions of this car, it fits the production vehicle even better, particularly in the rear plan view. It matches up to where the Camaro is, and I were really quite excited about that. Obviously, we've got symmetry between the left and right-hand side. We needed that, so it looks more like the street car. Independent rear suspension. We'll have a rear transaxle, and then on the wheels, we'll have a wheel that really mirrors a little bit closer to what you see in the production side in terms of size. So those are some of the things we're excited about, and it has been collaboration. NASCAR has been pulling us together to meet on this on a regular basis with the three OEMs and other partners, and it's been a really productive kind of journey. And happy to say it's going to happen in 21.
We're going to far left, Jacob, then Dustin and Jerry.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport. I've got a question for all three of you and then a quick follow-up for Ed. Talking about this sport, and all three of you sit here, as far as the championship's concerned, how important is it each year to sit at that table, regardless of which of the three series it is, that competition and fighting for a championship, how important for it is it for you guys from the manufacturer standpoint to keep bringing these big trophies home?
Yeah, you guys want to start because he's got a follow-up for me. So.
Yeah, listen, this is the goal. I mean, you've got a number of goals as a manufacturer. One's a manufacturer's championship, but equally as important, and actually I think from a consumer standpoint even more so, is driver's championship. So the goal is to get here in the championship four. So for us in truck and Xfinity, excited about the fact we got here. Obviously didn't win last night, have a chance with two really talented drivers going up against two other really talented drivers to go for a championship, to add potentially to the history of Chevy in terms of drivers' championships. On the Cup side, to be up here, it's painful to not have a championship driver. But this is racing. If you have highs and lows, it's all about how you respond. We're in six series with our company with three divisions. We're obviously here with Chevrolet, but we have two other divisions. And when you are winning and vying for championships, you focus on how you keep the momentum going. When you don't, it's all about digging in and getting back on the trajectory of success. That's racing. We've been in this over 100 years. Lewis Chevrolet, and it was a co-founder of the company. Him and his brothers, they raced. They happened to race at Indy, but performance and racing and that spirit is alive and well in our company today. And with that, happy birthday to Ed, 40 years at TRD.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
For Ford Performance and Ford Motor Company, our very first pillar of why we exist and what our mission is to win races and championships that matter. And the NASCAR series is that we're here because it is a series that matters, races that matter. So we want to win each and every race, and we want to win the championship. That is our goal. The other pillars that we have are, as we've talked, innovation and tech transfer, people development, employee pride and satisfaction, and connecting with our fans and customers. And those four other pillars are greatly affected by the first pillar of winning those races and championships. So if we're able to win a race or win the championship, it makes our story that we're telling our fans and customers so much better. Our employees are proud that they come in to work on Monday morning and the homepage talks about winning a race or winning a championship. That's a proof point for our technology. So, yeah, it's one of our pillars, but it's the most important pillar is to win those races and championships.
Yeah, I think it's just pretty much the same that these guys have covered. I talked a little bit about earlier, 2007 is when we came into the sport, and that year that Chevrolet won 26 races, remember, we won none. And we were actually watching qualifying in many cases closer than we were watching the race, because we knew that we had competitively we were not going to be up there. So, but it has really become also an internal rallying cry, not only for our internal team members and all of our plant workers, but also for all of our dealership associates. There's so many folks out there that work in dealerships that are race car fans and racing fans, and they really love the fact that they get a chance to be able to see a Toyota in victory lane.
To follow up on that, how big, considering where you were in 2007, has this season been a statement for the company, you know, to do what you've done now?
Yeah, so as I said earlier, I think the biggest thing is when you reflect back on 2007, it's hard for us to even envision that we would get to this point. To have three of the four cars in the championship final four, to have 18 wins, potentially on 19, and eclipse the Hendrick organization who... by the way, when I started in 2007, you know, Rick was a really big help to me of helping come into the sport. So I relied upon him and Roger Penske to help me and show me the way as we came in. So it's a huge deal for the company. Absolutely.
We'll go in the middle to Dustin Long, then Jerry. Dustin Long, NBC Sports for Jim and Mark. Most years there are various rule changes and that allows teams and even manufacturers a little behind to kind of work ahead and kind of try to catch and close that gap. Next year, obviously, there aren't those types of rule changes. So what is to keep from happening, you guys being here a year from now, and the same manufacturer dominating the wins and potentially the championship four? Because there aren't those rule changes. I know, Jim, you've got a different car, but still, what is to keep what happened this year from happening again next year when the rules
Yeah, I think for us, the rules changes for 2019, it took us a while to get our teams and our own heads around what those changes were and the aerodynamic effects especially. And I think we've seen some stronger performance in the latter half of the year, which we hope to continue into 2020. And I would also say that there are still rule changes for 2020. But although the packages aren't changing, some of the things like reduced wind tunnel time will be in place, and the effectiveness of your tools like aero computational fluid dynamics will come into play more than wind tunnel testing is today. So there's still going to be, I think, some balance shifts. Maybe we'll see who has the best aero CFD tool.
Yeah, I would just say it's all about optimizing all your testing time and your simulation time to give the drivers a best chance of unloading quick, adjusting quickly, and then executing in the race. So I think that's really what it's about. There's limited on-track testing, so it really comes down heavily to simulation, driver in the loop activity. There is some aero testing, more limited, and so we have to make sure every minute of those aero tests is productive, and that's what we'll do as a team that we have, three major teams, and we have a number of affiliates, so we'll use that to our best advantage. But it's going to be about execution.
Okay. We'll go to Jerry in the back, and then we'll come up front to Lee.
Jerry Jordan, kicking the tires.net. For each of y'all, you talked about collaboration on the 2021 car. Can you explain in your own terms for each what the hybridization model will look like, or what have y'all come to an overall agreement, or are y'all all three on different platforms at this point?
Well, we're working with NASCAR on it. I mean, the details of that are still yet to be finalized. I think it would be more oriented to a spec system than unique R&D for every system. But the final decision on that is, you know, yet to be made. And obviously that would be, you know, the vehicle in 21 would be package protected for that, and then the following year is kind of the target time frame. But more work to do there, and a lot of those details we got to still work out.
I think more broadly on the your collaboration comment, or what we have all said about collaboration on the car, a lot of it was sitting down over a year ago where we said, okay, what is important to us as manufacturers to have in the car in terms of technology or architecture, what's important to the sport, what's important to the fans? And there's always some give and take there to find that right balance, and I think everybody worked together well because we all are stakeholders in the sport. We want it to be successful. To find what those things were, and that's what is being designed into the car today. And then, as Jim said, for the hybrid system, we don't have any details that we can talk about today, but the same approach is being taken to defining that system.
Yeah, it's really early, but you know, electrification is part of our future, and as you know, these two guys both said, the collaboration piece of the thing is try to make it more relevant on the racetrack. So from a powertrain perspective, that's a big deal, but we got a lot of work to do. And also, you know, everything that's happening from a hybrid perspective, electrification perspective, is changing so rapidly with the technologies that are changing so rapidly, and we also want to make sure that it's still relevant to race fans. So it's we've got a road ahead of us, but based on the success that we've had for the 2021 car, I think the road looks pretty good right now.
We'll come right up front here to Lee.
To kind of follow up on that, I remember a conversation with Doug Ducart when he was the GM boss at Bristol in, I want to say, 1999. He said that if we went to common templates, Chevrolet would pull out. Well, you know, of course they didn't, but my question is, if we go down the road and go to a crate engine similar to what we're seeing in the truck series, what is the interest of the manufacturers at that point? And then I have a follow-up.
There's no crate engine for Cup Series. We'll be racing a Chevrolet engine.
Period. Going forward.
Yeah, as far as I can see, we will be on a Chevrolet engine as we are today. So that's where we're at, and I don't see that changing. But listen, that's why we meet with all the stakeholders in the sport to make sure, you know, we're healthy going forward. But I know there's been a lot of talk on in radio and in the articles around, is it going to a spec engine in the Cup Series, and it is not. So I'm not sure if that answers that question, but
you guys were talking about commonality. I'm just wondering if we ever got to a point where we would see that.
Yeah, I think all three of us agree that the heart and soul of the race car is the engine and the body. And that's where the focus has been for the next-gen car, to make sure that we keep our own brand engines and our own independence there in that development of those engines, and in the body and the shape and the styling and the aero performance of that body. And we expect that to continue. That's why we're in racing. If it gets to the point, I think for any of us as many, I don't want to speak for you guys, right? But if there's no relevance for the manufacturer, then we'd just be in it as a sponsor, and then we don't have that same connection like we do today.
Yeah, I think the quote is, if we can't have specific relevance in the race car, then we're probably not racing.
We have had growing,
significant.
We've had growing pains in the truck series this year, clearly with Ilmor. So, my next question is: you know, we see factory teams in Formula One and in other racing series. That being said, we're also getting to the point where we're not necessarily putting the best drivers, the most qualified drivers, in these race cars. We're putting the ones that bring the biggest check. And I'm wondering, will it ever come to the point where the factories feel healthy enough that they can do a little more? I mean, I commend all you guys for your driver development programs. Ford has really stepped up. Chevrolet stepped up. You guys have clearly been ahead of the curve when it comes to that. Don't even.
Well, we're really actually bullish on Chevrolet because most of those young drivers have come through our development program. So, you know.
But I, at what point do you all get more involved so we put the best product with the best driver behind the wheel in these race cars?
Well, I don't think we have a driver that shows up with a big paycheck. I mean with a big check. So I think the work that Joe Gibbs and JGR has done with regard to sponsorship and that model has worked very, very well for the Joe Gibbs team. But I don't know whether or not that works across all ownerships. And I think part of the cost reductions that are going to have to be baked into the sport over time are designed to be able to bring new ownership into the sport. And I think that will happen.
Yeah, I think a lot of what we're doing at the Cup level with the next-gen car for relevance, but also to take some of the money out of operating a car, a similar approach and discussion needs to happen around the lower-level series with Xfinity and truck to still allow competition and great racing, but at less money. And then it reduces the need for a driver to bring family money or sponsorship money to it, and they can help advance through the series based upon talent. Is that fully there today? No, I don't think it is. But I think that's something that together, as stakeholders in the sport, we do need to work on.
Yeah, obviously we have a lot of young drivers at Chevy. They come from a variety of different places. I remember when Rick Hendrick called me and said, this is like Toyota. In 2010, and he says, I just signed a 14-year-old named Chase Elliott. Obviously, coming from a family from the sport, I got that part, but still, that's a big bet for 14 years old, and there are some really talented young drivers. And some have links to the sport, and some have sponsor money, and some don't. And so in a driver development program, you probably see a little bit of each. And I do think in the end, it's a performance sport, what I said earlier. So the top performers will rise. That's kind of that's the way I see it.
I think, it's interesting, the comment that you made, I think that the part of the work that we're doing with driver development is trying to actually have them be marketable. As they learn and grow, they have to understand that their value is beyond winning races. So we teach them about social media, and we teach them about the things that I don't think many of the drivers in maybe some current gen and maybe some of the ones that are a little bit older or recently retired that they were on board on that. They didn't understand that relevance was an integral part of who they were as drivers. And I think that's helping a ton as far as them being able to be relevant with some of the sponsors.
Gentlemen, thank you for your time this morning, and good luck the rest of the weekend.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.